Okay, first of all, any malacha on yontif is asur if you're not doing it for the sake of yontif. You're doing it for after yontif. It's also asur if you're doing it for the sake of a goy. And they're not allowed to do malacha for the sake of a goy. You're not even allowed to invite a goy to your house for a yontif meal. Shabbos you can. But yontif, we're afraid that since you're cooking and baking on yontif, you may come to cook and bake for this goy separately. And you can't even add things extra for the sake of the goy. If a goy came to your house uninvited, after you are already prepared, there you're allowed to feed him. You're not allowed to cook for him, but you're allowed to feed him from things already cooked. You're allowed to feed a goy things that don't need cooking. If he comes to your house, or you can even invite him just for a snack or something where there's no cooking involved at all. It's not that you can't have a goy in your house on yontif. You can't invite him to eat things that need to be cooked, or even if they were cooked before yontif tosser. The exception to that is non-Jewish help. Maids, Filipinos, they have the same din as the slaves. And they're not slaves, though, but... you can feed... You can't cook specifically for them, but you can cook up more food when you're cooking, cook up more food for them, as long as all the food was put in the pot before you started cooking, you didn't add something specific for them. As you know, you need 10 pieces of chicken, and one of them is for the goy, you're allowed to put 10 pieces of chicken in the pot and cook it up. That's only, though, for hired help. That's not for a goy stam that you invite.
What's the problem with feeding a goy food they cook before yontif?
What? We're afraid that you'll run out and you'll have to feed him something to cook. It's a gzira d'rabban.
Is it only cooked or
any malacha? Any malacha. Any malacha. Any malachi can't do first, specifically. Okay, same thing, you can't do malacha for an animal. You can't cook for your dog, or do any other malacha for the sake of a dog, or any other animal. What's next? Smoking, we speak about, we don't smoke any time. But it's even people who smoke, it's kamat borer that the most poskim today, it's also to smoke. Even the heterim, that used to be for smoking on yontif, kamat don't apply today. And therefore, what's it called, it's a very big chash of chilul yontif if you smoke on yontif. Okay, borer on yontif is sometimes mutter and sometimes osur. This is one of the malachas that is mutter sometimes, but not mutter all the time. Okay, even when you're allowed to be borer, right, you have to do it with a shinui. You have to do it with some unusual order. It's better to be borer on yontif, if you can, in the same way that's mutter to do on Shabbos. For instance, you have to take something you don't need from something you do. You want to cut off fat from chicken or from meat. So on Shabbos, the best thing is to take a layer of the meat together with the fat. On yontif is also. Where there's no way of being borer beheter, and you want to eat. So then borer is mutter on yontif, as long as you don't do it in a way that looks like you're doing it for a different day, a lot at a time. So you can't use this kli that's made special for being borer, and you should do it in the way where it needs the less work, less bother. So if there's more bad than good, take the good from the bad. If there's more good than bad, take the bad from the good, which is not the same thing as in Shabbos. Okay. Okay, what else? Another difference of Shabbos from Shabbos is that where you're allowed to be borer, where you need it for the sake of eating and you can't, it's difficult to do in the permissible way, or more difficult. You're allowed to do it even for another meal. Shabbos, you can only do it for immediate use. Yom Tov, you're allowed to do it even for another meal on Yom Tov. Okay. Sifting flour.
For another meal, that means like a Rosh Hashanah from first day of Sunday?
No, second day you can never do. It means from that day. The next day you can never do. Okay. Sifting flour, since it can be done Erev Yom Tov, it's another clown. Malachas that could have been done Erev Yom Tov without any problem. Flour is not going to go bad if you sift it Erev Yom Tov. So you have to do it Erev Yom Tov, and what's it called? You can't sift it on Yom Tov. But flour that was already sifted, like regular baking flour that was regularly sifted, right, and you want to just sift it again to add some air or whatever, sometimes you re-sift it to before you mix it with the water. So then if you do make a shinoi, right, you put the sifter upside down or something. And obviously we're talking about not electric sifters, we're talking about the hand-done ones, right? And then that's mutter. Next, tochen, grinding, okay? Foods that will maintain their taste completely. If you grind the Erev Yom Tov, you're not allowed to grind on Yom Tov. Foods that would lose some of their taste if you ground the Erev Yom Tov, but they still would be decent, but they would lose some of the taste, then you can grind them with a shinui. And foods that if you grind the Erev Yom Tov would lose most of their taste, then you can grind them, what's it called, regularly on Yom Tov. An example of foods that won't be affected at all is nuts. Grind nuts before Yom Tov. There's absolutely no difference whether you do it on Yom Tov or before Yom Tov. You have to do it before Yom Tov. Okay. Okay.
You get the mash for a baby.
The what?
You get the mash food.
Right.
For a baby. You just have to do that.
Yeah, the food, usually food that you can, what's it called, the mash for a baby is food that would lose its taste. It would start turning like bananas or potatoes or whatever that you can ground on, that you can do on Yom Tov. And with those, what's it called, so foods that will lose some of the taste, you should grind with a shinui on Yom Tov. And foods that would lose a lot of their taste, what's it called, you can grind normally. You can chop, mash, or whatever. Bananas are like that. Potatoes are like that. If you did the Erev Yom Tov, they turn black. It's not the same as if you do them fresh. And you can't. Okay, and what's it called? Using a kli that is, what's it called, miyuchad for grinding, right? On Shabbos you can't. But on Yom Tov you're allowed, those things that you're allowed to grind or chop or mash, you can use even a regular clay. You can use a potato peeler, what's it called? You can use a masher or whatever, even though it's made specially. The only things you can't use are things that are made bedafka to prepare a lot of things at a time. But if it's a regular household meal, thing that you use for just that meal, even though it's a kli, you're allowed to use it. And here he has a list of foods that don't need a shinui, that you can mash, grate, or whatever, because if you did it Erev Yom Tov, it would lose most of its taste. Potatoes, bananas, matzah, apples, onions, and vegetables for salad. Things that need a shinui, that the chatchila should do before Yom Tov, but since you want it to really taste good, you can do it on Yom Tov, but with a shinui, is pepper, cheese, or horseradish. And the things that have to be done before Yom Tov, because they don't lose any taste, is nuts. There's some, a lot of other things like that, but... okay. Losh, kneading. So this is one of the malachas that is mutter on Yom Tov and usher on Shabbos. Okay, things that you're allowed to do normal. Okay, is egg salad, tuna salad, right? You're allowed to mix together, mix oil in it or whatever, these things are not gidule karka. They don't grow from the ground. Eggs and tuna. Okay? On Yom Tov, you can prepare them the normal way. You know, Shabbos, you usually need a shinui, but Yom Tov, you can mix oil, mayonnaise into tuna salad, egg salad without any problem. And it doesn't have to be big pieces. It could even be like a batter, if you want to make it. Yom Tov, you're also allowed to make instant potatoes on Yom Tov, even though on Shabbos it's also. Baby cereal. Shabbos, there's a lot of halachas of how to do it properly with the shinui and how thick the batter can be, the thick the consistency can be. On Yom Tov, you can do it in any consistency and normally. Okay, if you can do these things, most of the things that you have to make, like cereal or whatever, if you do it Erev Yom Tov, it would lose a good amount of its taste. But anything that would not lose its taste at all can be done equally Erev Yom Tov as on Yom Tov, that you have to do Erev Yom Tov. Okay. And if you didn't do them Erev Yom Tov, you're still allowed to do them, but with a shinui. An example of that, he says, is instant pudding. Instant pudding, people make it a lot of times, hours and hours before. They store it up for days. It doesn't have to be made fresh. So if you're going to have instant pudding on Yom Tov, you should do it Erev Yom Tov. If not, then you have to do it with a shinui, just like on Shabbos. The best thing is to do it Erev Yom Tov. And in general, even though you're allowed to cook and bake on Yom Tov, it's a good idea to do everything like you would on Shabbos to avoid any kind of problems and to have a Yom Tov that you're not busy baking and cooking the whole Yom Tov and can enjoy the Yom Tov too. Okay, measuring things for recipes or whatever. Here, lechatchila, you should only approximate things and not use measuring cups or exact measurements. And you can even use a measuring cup as long as you don't measure exactly. You can use the cup to put the things in, as long as you don't measure exactly. But where not measuring would have a significant effect on the recipe. In other words, if you approximate some things that if you put in, from my experience, if you approximate how much corn starch you should put into something, it may make a big difference. Or vanilla. Right, so I always measure the vanilla before. No, I'm just kidding. Those kind of things where it's very strong things that if you make a mistake and put a little bit too much in, it's going to ruin the recipe. There, you're allowed even to measure exactly. That's called tzoruch hachol nefesh, and you're allowed to measure exactly. Baby formula. Does it have to be exact? I don't know. Been a while since I've either eaten it or given it to anybody else. What?
It's sort of left, so it's like you do it against the edge of the can, so that you can have a little thing.
Yeah, so you shouldn't make it exact, you know, by pouring some out and pouring. If it's exact, if it's pretty close to it, that's enough. That's it. Okay, here in Eretz Yisrael, taking challah. On Yom Tov, people here bake on Yom Tov? No, I don't think so. Everybody does it before Yom Tov. Okay. You can take off, if you happen to bake bread on Yom Tov, which you're allowed to do, you can take off challah. But if you made challah before Yom Tov and you forgot to take off the challah, then there's no way of eating that bread on Yom Tov, for all practical purposes. There's some possible solutions, but for all practical purposes, you can't do it. So, and in Chutz La'aretz, there is a way of doing it. You're allowed to eat the bread and leave off in the end a little bit and take it off the next day. Use that for challah the next day. But in Eretz Yisrael, you can't do that. And if you forgot to take off challah, Erev Yom Tov, or Erev Shabbos for that matter, you can't eat that bread on Shabbos or Yantif, and probably it's Muktzah, since it's Asher to eat. What? Krumas Maisa, same thing. Okay. Cooking. We said cooking is mutter. On the other hand, if you can cook something before Yom Tov and it won't lose any of its taste, it's the same if it's fresh or not fresh, then you should cook it before Yom Tov. But things that, most things, if you cook them fresh, taste better. And if they're not fresh or not, you're allowed to cook them on Yom Tov. You know, like a fresh roast is for sure tastier than leftovers or whatever. On the other hand, if you make a filter fish, usually make it in advance, you don't make it fresh. So it's better to make the gefilte fish erev yontif and not on yontif. Or you want to cook up jello. Right? It doesn't lose anything. It's normally made in advance. Those things to erev yontif. What?
Molid.
Who?
Jello
molid. No, that's okay. What else? It's not molded, it's lush. Like yellow and lush is also mutter. It's mutter. But it's mutter to only do if it's necessary to do it on Yom Tov. If you can do it Erev Yom Tov and there's no reason why not, then that's something you should do Erev Yom Tov. But not because that it's a malach you can't do on Yom Tov. We spoke already about inviting non-Jews. Using Havara. Most people here have gas ovens and burners. You're allowed to light a gas oven or burner either from a pilot light, not electric ignition. Regular electric ignition is also on Yom Tov. From a regular pilot light, or by taking an existing flame and lighting the gas. Okay, lighting a match in order to bring it over to the thing. If you have something that you can bring over directly without lighting that match, it's better to do that. But usually you can't. Sometimes if it's from a candle that you can bring over and light the gas, you shouldn't light a match. And then, because really not necessary. You could easily take the existing flame and light it directly. But if you have a candle in a cup or something, you know, one of these yards, it's very difficult to get that and light the gas. So then you need a match, that's okay. But you can't light the match directly.
Can you transfer a Shabbos candle to the outside candle to the gas?
I mean, from the yardside candle to the Shabbos candle to the gas.
Yardside candle to the Shabbos candle to gas.
Yeah. Yeah, just you have to leave the Shabbos candle burn out. You can't put it out. So you can transfer a flame. You can make a flame bigger. But you can't make a flame smaller, light a new flame, or put out a flame. All of that is usur. The only time you can put out a flame is if you have no lower gas, or even lower the gas. You don't have another burner burning. And for some reason you can't put another one on. That we'll see as a shaila. But you have no other burner burning. You only have this one and the food's going to burn. But it's not fully cooked. So if you leave it on this size flame, it's going to burn. If you take it off, it's not going to be warm. It's not going to be hot or fully cooked. So then in order to cook it properly, you have to put the flame down. That's called charech ochel nefesh. That's mutter. On the other hand, if you have another flame that's smaller, then instead of putting this one down, which is kibui, just transfer the pot to the smaller flame. Then you wouldn't be allowed to put the flame down. You don't have another one, but you could turn on another one. Then the shaila is what's better? To put down this flame, right, since you don't have another one on, or to make another flame in order that you don't have to push this one down. That's a shaila what to do. But you should anticipate beforehand to have the kinds of flames and the amount of flames you need for the kind of cooking that you're doing. And usually, again, people should cook before Yom Tov and just keep things warm on Yom Tov, and then you don't come to any problems.
Is there a product that only just a flame with this food on it?
What?
Is there a product that only just a flame with this food on it, or even when there's not food on it?
No, if you need it for food, then you can adjust it before too. You can even make a flame when there's no food, so you tell. But if you need it for food eventually, there's no, you don't have to be on. Electric things, anything that changes an electric current is considered making something new. It's not like an existing thing. There's no electric thing that doesn't turn off one thing and turn on a higher one. So that is literally true. There are certain electric circuits where it just increases the heat. It doesn't turn anything. Most of them have different circuits, and when you turn it up, you turn off one, you turn on another. That's the shurasa. If you would know that you have a circuit with a resistor, I think it's called, and then what's it called? It doesn't turn off and turn on, but it just increases the heat. That would mistama be okay. Okay. Yeah.
Concerning the pilot light, if I unplug the stove, then the electric ignition doesn't work. I can put it where it says light and put a match there and light it. When I'm doing that, can I put the flame down? Because where it lights is the highest level flame there can be. That is, when I'm initially lighting it, you're saying I can't put the flame down.
Right.
Wherever I light it, it's as high as it's going to be up there.
Right. So you should see to it it's burning before you enter. Okay. What else? Okay. Shchita, squeezing liquids from solids, which is dosh. Okay. So we learned by Shabbos that olives and grapes is an issur d'oraisa, and other things are an issur d'rabbanan if they're normally squeezed, and things that aren't squeezed ever, probably sometimes even mutter. Okay. By dosh on yontif, there's a machlokas, but many poskim hold that disha is not one of the things that's mutter on yontif, and therefore it's osur, and you can only do like by Shabbos. And therefore, you should be machmer like that, and only squeeze juices the way you'd be allowed to do it on Shabbos. In other words, you're allowed to, if you need orange juice or lemon juice in a dish, you're allowed to squeeze it onto a solid or into a salad, but not squeeze it onto a liquid or into a liquid.
Is ice considered a solid or liquid?
What? Ice? No, ice just doesn't go into this cloud. Ice, you don't squeeze the water out of the... squeezing something on ice? It's an interesting question. Probably it's a liquid, like this, because there's a shita that holds you can't squeeze lemon onto sugar that you're going to then put into the liquid, because even though right now it's a solid, since you're intending to make it a liquid immediately, that's already still awesome. So ice is going to become liquid... For sure.
You didn't want the ice to be liquid. You didn't want the ice to stay soft. Well,
I know, but you know for sure that it's gonna melt.
Or worse, that ice gets produced by the sugar. It absorbs it. The ice just runs off the side.
Yeah, it doesn't make a difference. It runs off the sides of lettuce too. As long as you squeeze it into something solid, that's okay. The stomach's no better than sugar.
If you put like really cold water onto that after you squeeze the lemon onto the ice and put really cold water, so it's not that ice isn't gonna melt right away. You can finish this whole drink before the ice even melts.
I hear a swirl both ways. If the ice is going to stay solid for a considerable amount of time, it's not by the sugar, it's only because you're going to move it to put it directly in the shame of the solid. Right away it becomes a liquid. The ice could be not, but you can't put it into the ice when there's liquid there. You can put it directly on the ice and then put liquid in. And that's, I'm not sure. Okay, what else?
Make a cup out of lettuce. And then
what?
Make a lettuce cup.
Okay, you can salt foods on Yom Tov, which you can't do directly on Shabbos. You're also allowed to make salt water, even very strong salt water on Yom Tov. It's very strong salt water. It's 2/3 salt and 1/3 water. That's what's called very strong. Okay, we said already about lighting fires. Lighting a yahrzeit. These kind of things are only if there's a need for the flame, for light, heat, or cooking. But if there's no need for it, like a yahrzeit candle, you don't use for light, heat, or cooking. It's just burning to the sake of burning. So it's better not to light a yahrzeit candle on Yom Tov and to light it before Yom Tov. If you didn't light it before Yom Tov, then b'di'evad there are hayterim to light it on Yom Tov. But the chatzilah should light it before Yom Tov. If you didn't light it before Yom Tov, then it says that you can light it on Yom Tov, and it's better to put it in the shul. Because there's an inyan of having extra light in a shul, it's a mitzvah, so having that yahrzeit candle burn shul, you're at least accomplishing something with it. Okay. Smoking, we spoke about already. A lot of problems with smoking on Yom Tov. So, really, anybody who smokes is taking the chance that not only are you killing yourself, you're also being mechal Yom Tov. And the two things really are not good together either, because you kill yourself early and you're also mechal Yom Tov. Who knows where you're going to be smoking after that? So, I really suggest that you don't smoke on Yom Tov. Mechaber we spoke about. Oh, there is a way, if you have your gas on and you're concerned about the fact that it's wasting all that gas and the house is hot or whatever, then there are ways of putting out the gas that, if there's a tzorech, that are mutter. You can boil up, put a pot of water on the thing that you're going to use, boil it up and let it overflow and put out the gas. That's a gram kibui, and that's mutter b'shas ha-tzorech.
It'll overflow, put out the fire, and then you put out. Yeah.
No, then you put, and then you turn off the gas. Yeah. Okay, once the fire's off, you can put off the gas. You should put off the gas, yeah. And you surely shouldn't smoke if you don't put off the gas.
I'll tell you where you're smoking.
But when you're boiling up the water for this purpose,
you should use it for something.
Yeah.
Okay. Boiling up water, heating water, you can use for what's it called? For drinking, for washing hands, face, and feet, or other parts of your body, as long as it's not most of your body. But you're not allowed to wash most of your body, not allowed to take a hot shower on Yom Tov, even with water that was heated up before Yom Tov. But water that was heated even on Yom Tov, you can use if it's not most of your body. If it's limb by limb and not most of your body.
What's the difference between...
Because washing, bathing your entire body is not something that everybody does every day. So it's not shavah l'chol nefesh. But washing your hands, even today, the people don't bathe every day.
What?
What?
Well, once a week, four times.
Yes.
If you're going to do shavah, do you not have any other, you're not turning on the electric heater, it's the hot water for shavah. Can you wash your dishes in there?
Yes. What you're doing is, the worst, is you're letting new cold water go in for the sake of washing dishes. That's okay. In other words, it's no different than if you put a pot of water on a already existing flame and boil it up. As long as you're doing it for eating or for only washing part of your body.
On Yom Tov, are we allowed to use the same sponge and only use in washing dishes during the week?
No. You have to use the same Shabbos kind of sponge. And even taking a cold shower on Yom Tov, the minig is not to bathe your entire body even in cold water. It's usher to bathe in warm water that was heated up before Yom Tov, surely not heated up on Yom Tov. And cold water is a minig just like on Shabbos. But in a time of great need, When a person's really, for instance, there's a three-day Yom Tov, like Rosh Hashanah that falls on Thursday and Friday, and by Friday you're really, what's it called?
Other people's right,
whatever. Then there are heterim to take a cold shower, but then you have to be very careful of not squeezing water out of your hair and not using solid soap and all the other things that you have to be careful of. But other than a real tzorich, where a person is really suffering because you can't bathe, the minig is not to take a cold shower, surely not to take a cold bath or whatever on Yom Tov.
That's the second day Yom Tov in America.
The same thing. It's the same as the first day Yom Tov. And the only thing is that if by the second day you're really being mitztayer, what?
And you're Ben Eretz Yisrael.
Ben Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz, you have to keep Yom Tov as if you would keep. The only thing is, it's only a minig. And there are reasons why you could, Mistame, you could do it. Because anybody who sees you taking the shower, I think. Right. They will assume that you're doing it because it's cold water and it's mutter because you're really mitzvah or whatever.
So you can't have a steaming hot shower.
A steaming hot shower? No, that's for sure. Also.
Right. No, I mean for Ben Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz, it's on the
second. Sure not. But how would they know?
It's also because of Marisayim. Anything you're not allowed to do publicly, you're not allowed to do privately either.
The reason the Rebbe gave for it is to chemish. It's because as long as you're using it for something that you...
It's motor, yeah.
But the water that you're heating up is not the water that you're using for that purpose. It's for the next person.
Yeah, in the summer, but you could use it. It's only marvel the shiurim, and you could conceivably need that water for Yom Tov too. What? Any malacha, first of all, any malacha that you do has to be done in a way that you could use it for Yom Tov. If you can't use it for Yom Tov at all, even if your intention is not like that, but you can't, that's awesome. Therefore, malacha should not be done ben hashmoshes. After shkia, what?
The shemesh would take longer than that to heat up.
Why? What do you mean? When you have hot water in there, and you take some cold out, and new cold water goes in and immediately gets heated up in the hot water that's there. What?
Depends on the weather.
There's no sun out in
Benishmosh. But the water is hot, and it comes in, and it gets Yatsa lettuce from the stomach right away. Doesn't cool off that or other. That amount that comes in is the minority. The majority is still boiling hot. So it heats up that water, at least the Yatsa lettuce bowls. That's not the only thing is that if you do this right before Shkia, so letting in that new water is not going to be Litzorach Yom Tov Bechlal, then it's not going to be also. But that applies to any malacha. Anything that you do after Shkia, so every second may be the end of Yom Tov. Philosophic. So it's better not to do malachas that are min haTorah after Shkia. Any. Cooking, for instance. You want to cook something after Shkia. So it may be that it's still Yom Tov, and by the time the things continue to cook and you use it, it's going to be after Yom Tov. Now, we don't know, because every second is a suffix. So malachas that are min haTorah, you shouldn't do after Shkia. Malachas that are in the Rabbanan, were so much that you could do them.
From Erev Yom Tov, you have to be careful, right?
What?
From Erev Yom Tov to Yom Tov, you can't.
Yeah, Erev Yom Tov to Yom Tov, yeah. For sure, because it's, at worst, either you did it on Chol or you do it on Tzorach Yom Tov. Carrying. Okay, Muktzah is also on Yom Tov, just like on Shabbos. Some things even more Chomer on Yom Tov than Shabbos. But here, there's no real, if you're on the Moshav, there's not too much of a way that you can carry Bechlal that should be also. Where can you go that you... going out of an Erev, unless you go to Chashmonaim maybe. So Yom Tov, you're allowed to carry L'Tzorach Yom Tov. But something that's not L'Tzorach Yom Tov, you're not allowed to carry. So if you have a key ring, and you have certain keys that you need to take with you, and certain keys, your car keys are on it, right? Even though the car keys may not be Muktzah, because they could be they serve another function in the car, aside from things that are Usher, but they're surely not L'Tzorach Yom Tov. So you have to take those keys off the ring. You should do it before Yom Tov. And anything, for instance, you want to carry something home that you don't need at home. You can get it after Yom Tov, right? And there's no extra tircha that you're doing it to save, it's not to be stolen or something. You want to leave something somewhere because it may get stolen, then you can carry it home. But if there's no reason except that you don't want to have to go back Motzei Shabbos and pick Motzei Yom Tov and pick it up, then you can't carry it on Yom Tov or the Tzorech after Yom Tov. Or carrying something for no purpose also is also.
Something which is Tzorech Yom Tov, but it's something else attached to it that's not bottled to it.
Right, you should take it off. Like we just said, a kikri.
No, I was saying like you have a shirt, the shirt you want to wear, that has a loose string that you normally would take off. You want to use the shirt, that will be a Tzorech Yom Tov, but the string is not.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, if it's something that on Shabbos you wouldn't, you would be considered carrying, and Yom Tov you don't need to carry that thing, then it's, yeah, then it's the difference what it is. If it's on Shabbos, it would be usher to do it all together, because it's carrying. And that thing you can take off, then you have to take it off.
So,
you can't take it off. Take it off a string.
Then it's bottom.
No, on Shabbos you would take it off. Otherwise, you found the string on Shabbos. So normally, you found it on Yom Tov. Normally on Shabbos you couldn't carry it because you normally would take it off. You wouldn't leave it there. It's not possible for that. But on Yom Tov, the string you don't want, but the shirt you do. Shirt is off Yom Tov.
I'm not sure.
In order to take the shirt, you have to take the string off, no?
Are these same halachas of Shabbos with the place that there is an Erev?
With an Erev, there's no, they carry even Shlo the Tzorech. The Erev helps for Yom Tov. To make it, that's not carrying. So Mimela, you can carry anything.
The Erev for anybody.
You can carry anything except Muktzah in an Erev, just like you can carry on Shabbos, but you're not allowed to carry it all. You can carry on Yom Tov, Shlo the Tzorech.
Is one allowed on Shabbos or Yom Tov to a bike
first I don't know if a bike is mukta. A mistama, a two-wheeler bike is mukta. And you can move it if you need the place or you need to use it for something mutta. But to move it, they shouldn't get ruined, they're not allowed to move it. Can you cover it? Yes. You can cover what? You throw something over the back. Yes.
Yeah.
The Eruv Tavshilin is not this Yom Tov. Okay, there's a mitzvah to eat meat and drink wine by Sudas Yom Tov. The minig is that for both Sudas and Shavuos, that minig is abrogated sometimes by people who eat milchiks. It definitely is not a good idea to eat only milchiks on Shavuos. It's better to have two meals of fleishiks. And if you want to eat milchiks, to have it like for breakfast. But if you don't have that minig, then one meal maybe you can get away with milchiks. But you should have at least one fleishik a meal, especially Shavuos. Shavuos, the Gemara speaks specifically about making fleishiks for Shavuos.
Is it better to have the fleishik meal during the day or at night?
Probably during the day is better. If you have a choice, one or the other, during the day is better. And in addition, you have to drink wine. And many poskim hold that grape juice is not enough, but as long as it has some alcoholic content, right? Even you can mix wine and grape juice together if you don't like to drink wine, or you get drunk or whatever, then a little bit of wine and grape juice is okay.
Is that even for women?
For women? No, women are makayim simchas Yom Tov, not by eating meat and drinking wine, but by getting new clothing.
What if they have no need for anything new?
Then they have no need for something new? What woman is that?
Theoretically, it's worse.
What? If they have nothing, so you get something else that makes them happy. Like you can do for kids, candy and nuts. It's not going to help for women, too.
Also, for the wife, like if you're not into clothes and jewelry, can you like get chocolate?
Anything, yeah, anything that children is, again, candy and nuts, so chocolates and stuff are also okay for somebody that's their...
Why
super? You can tickle them also, I guess. That's no, it's not that. The, I'm afraid to ask what that was. Okay, you also can't walk out of the tchum on Yontif. And therefore, I think there's nowhere, I mean, Chashmonoyim, Kirit Sefer, Brachfels, all in the area of, it's not Chashmonoyim, but Chashmonoyim, I don't think there's any part of Chashmonoyim that you can't walk to on Shabbat. There may be, I don't know, there may be parts up in, and what's it called? No, Ganei Modiin and Ramat Modiin are within the Tchum of Matat Yo. B'nei Bina, maybe. B'nei Bina, maybe. Now that we're all one Eruv, in from Kiryas Sefer is the same thing. Everything starts from the end of the Matat Yo Eruv. So I think but it's not Muvla within our Tchum. So you only have 2,000 Amis, right? You don't have the whole city of Chashmonoyim. Wherever the 2,000 Amis end, within Chashmonoyim it ends. But it's pretty much till the end of Ganei Modiin, until the end of Ramat Modiin is within the Tchum. It's 2,000. No, it's 2,000 hours from the wherever is closer. I guess from the closest point.
As the crow flies, or
what?
As the crow flies.
Not really, but it's for all practical purposes from the end of where the Eruv ends. It's not exactly like that, but it's more or less that's how you measure it. What else? That's pretty much. Any other questions or? That's pretty much.
When
yeah.
You say a mikom, it's like a thing borer, right. Not for food.
Yeah, all these malachas, the malachas that you're allowed to do for food, you're allowed to do even for not food purposes, like carrying, right? Borer also, you're allowed to be borer socks, right? If there's no heterdika way to do it in the easiest way, even though it's not for food, that's where you say mikom. Same thing goes for what other malach is mutter for that? What do we say? Yeah, for what's it called? Carrying or lighting a fire. You don't need for food, but you need for lights or something like that. It's also same kind of heter.